Travis has a background in sports nutrition, wellness education, behavior modification, and Christian counseling. Travis spent the first half of his life battling with obesity himself and dealing with the unintended consequences of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, acid reflux, and depression. He overcame obesity by faith, nutrition education, self-discipline, and with the shibboleth lifestyle. Travis has spent the last two decades educating and inspiring tens of thousands of other men, women, and children to begin their own weight loss and wellness transformations. The Shibboleth Lifestyle is the number one weight loss and wellness lifestyle on the internet. Join us today and welcome to the podcast.
Happy Easter, Sasha.
Happy Easter, Travis.
Good morning. Good morning. We're recording this on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
What a different kind of Easter this has been already, but feeling blessed, feel really good. We'll be recording this Easter Sunday 2020 for those that will listen to this in the future, and probably most people will get those that do tune in to the Shibboleth Jam podcast with Sasha and Travis. We'll get to listen to this on Monday, tomorrow. So we want to welcome everybody to the Shibboleth Jam podcast. We're excited about the things we're going to talk about today. We hope that it will be a blessing to someone out there who is trying to lose weight and become a more well person. I know I'll start it off with Sasha's been teasing me a little bit about the introduction to our podcast.
Yeah, I've been sort of wondering. I've been meaning to ask you about that. Sort of a little. It's good. I like it. I didn't know you were going to let me talk about it today.
I had to throw something new at you that you don't know is coming.
I asked him about that. I said, you want to tell me about this? This intro is pretty. It's pretty cool. Actually, but yeah, I'm not looking for it's. Now you got me flabbergasted. I don't know what to say because just kind of funny.
I've had more than a few people that I'm close to give me a hard time about that. How that thing works is you write down your credentials and somebody makes you sound a lot better than you actually are. And when we did that, that was done a long time ago. We've been planning this podcast for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of start stops over the years with podcasts, but we decided we wanted to do one the right way as much as we could with the resources we have. So that was a long time ago, and I had no idea when the person did that you would be joining me on the podcast, which has been our goal, but we never knew we would be able to get to that where you and I could do these together, because Shibboleth really is – we tease each other about it. It's kind of our love child.
Right.
We've got five children between us. We've been together for 10 years. We'll knock on wood. You never know. We are talking about this on Easter. There are miracles, but we don't plan on having any other physical children. So Shibboleth is kind of like our love child. We started this together, and God's blessed us and blessed our union, and we're still doing this together, and you are a big part of it. So I've got a surprise coming up for you here very soon with our introduction to the podcast. It will be changing.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly don't have the credentials, you know, that you have. I just enjoy being part of it. And when you've sort of, we talked about it before and talked about me doing it with you, I thought, no, I can't do what you do. And sort of because there's been so many times I realized one day us just talking in the kitchen, I could sit there and listen and chime in and give some feedback. Cause you would just enjoy talking to, you know, you being in here talking to a wall is no fun. So I enjoy the interaction, and I think I hope it's a good thing.
Yeah. But you know, you and I are a lot alike, and we do have some things we're going to talk about here, but you and I are a lot alike, and we do talk about relationships on this podcast, and you give me a hard time, as you know, a friend of ours did many years ago. A friend of ours who'd been quite successful, I was constantly saying, oh, I'm not that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And she would say, you're so disingenuous. So I'm going to cut up with you a little bit. You're a little disingenuous when you say, oh, I can't do that. You're so good at it. And frankly, much better at it than me for who our demographic is. And you know what I mean. Our audience is a few brave men who tune in, but mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
Women. And your thing has always been, you know, I want to help women because they're the ones that help the husbands and help the children. And you wanted this to be a safe place for women. So, you know, doggone girl, quit giving me so much credit. You deserve a lot of credit. But we'll move on past that. I'll surprise you later with that introduction.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot shorter. This one, this introduction is too long. Some of our beautiful, beautiful listeners have already told me, only thing wrong with that is the introduction's too long. Get to the point. So we'll work on that. Yeah. Yep. So it's Easter. It's Easter Sunday. And I'm going to read a scripture that goes along with really your first, you've been reading emails and getting private messages about what's going on in the minds of people. So the first scripture I've got is going to answer that question for you. So what was that question?
Well, the as you know, it's hard to get past the struggle, and everybody every day, no matter how many times we feel like we're being positive and trying to give people motivation and motivation to do this, to do life. It's every day somebody else is struggling with something else, and it really has to be something that we talk about every day. So one of the most recent ones that I pulled that had a lot of attention was a young lady wanting to share her struggle, thinking that it might help someone realize they're not alone in their own struggle, is what she said. So she hasn't worked since March 16th, a dental hygienist. All three of her kids are living at home, and daughter-in-law and granddaughter. Life has changed. My husband's the only one of us still working. I'm stressed, angry, sad. Start the day perfect with coffee. By the evening, something has made me want to cheat. My kids are complaining all the time about each other. I'm cooking meals for them. I'm the only one living the Shibboleth lifestyle. Gained 17 pounds since this time last year. I am one thing positive. I've had time to work outside. I've been spending all day outside weeding, planting, sweating, when weather permits, walking. But I'm feeling fat, don't like my stomach, feeling bad about how my body looks, isn't helping my mood. I know bad self-imaging is not helping me. Just keeping it real, honest. I need more willpower. And just telling people they're not alone. So
yeah, we do hear that. When we were just we don't really have a script for this. We just write down a few points we want to cover. If the Holy Spirit leads in a different way, that's the way we'll go. But we were going to start off with this, and my question was to Sasha was, didn't we start off the first two podcasts with the same question? How do I get off the struggle bus?
Right.
In some form or format. And we'll probably always have to discuss this because people are struggling with, frankly, old bad habits and struggling with spiritual warfare. I mean, that's exactly what you're struggling with if you're trying to become a more well person, you're trying to lose weight. And for those that listen to this podcast in the future, just a reminder, we're living during a very challenging time. You're talking about the coronavirus crisis. And we can certainly resonate, what she's saying resonates with us. We've got all of our grown kids that are working are laid off.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are in the house with us now. Our patterns, the things that we used to do or were able to do to keep ourselves in shape have changed. You know, I've been, my exercise routine has been uprooted. I can't do it right now. I'm having to find other things that are not my habit to do to stay in shape. Jiu-jitsu was my habit.
Mm-hmm.
Running on the beach was my habit, and can't do those things anymore. So certainly we understand, and you and I both, even today before we did this podcast, we say, hey, we got to start our lockdown tomorrow because I've gained some pounds during this because my patterns have been upset. So living during that time, and that's why what she's saying is even more impactful and necessary to address because you're living during a weird, it's a strange time. But we've got hope. I'm going to read this. It's fitting because it's Easter. I want to read this and see where it goes and see if it might help somebody, and then we'll get to the food questions. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 through 7 says, "And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.'" I like that. And, you know, when I was reading that, the thing that jumped out at me was, why do you seek the living among the dead? So we all come from, if we're here, if we're listening and interested in this type of thing, weight loss and wellness, we all come here wanting to lose weight, but we continue to do the same things over and over and over, expecting a different result. We're seeking, we've got one foot in a new lifestyle, one foot in an old lifestyle, and bad habits, bad patterns, and we're trying to continue forward with that one foot in that old lifestyle. We keep doing the same thing over and over. Why do we seek the living among the dead? You want life, right? That's why we're all here. It's not weight loss we want. It's right. What weight loss will give us. It's not wellness that we want. It's what wellness will give us, and it gives us more life. That's what we believe. It's weight loss and wellness has given me a much more productive life and a life filled with much more joy.
Mm-hmm.
So before, I continued to seek life amongst dead things. What do I mean, dead things? Food. You know, that was my addiction. Food was my addiction. I continued to deal with my stress and deal with my anxiety and deal with, even when I wanted to be entertained, deal with boredom, deal with hurt. All of this stuff, I continue to deal with those problems with something that's dead. Food. Food. Food was my solution for everything. And in a moment of anxiety, I turned to food. I was looking for life, but I was looking for it in the wrong place. Isn't that a song? That's a song, isn't it? Looking for love. Never mind. Won't sing. But, right? I mean, yeah. That's exactly what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And until you realize that you're looking for life in the wrong place, you're not going to be successful. Why do you seek life? I'm going to edit that myself. Why do you seek life amongst dead things? Okay, life is not how you've been trying to obtain weight loss and wellness is not working out for you. So you've got to have a radical change. You've got to have a different approach. I love that this being Easter, we're celebrating the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to get off the struggle bus, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus lived a life of struggle, yet without sin. His flesh was crucified, and that's another thing. He gave us a good example. We've got to crucify our flesh and the lust of it. Okay, one of the lusts that my flesh has is Oreos, Nutter Butters, Cheddar Bay Biscuits. My goodness, I can't tell you how long it's been. So my flesh lusts for those things. Until I can deny my flesh, actually crucify my flesh, I'm not going to find life and life more abundantly. So Jesus gives us this perfect example of how to live a life of struggle, but yet persevere, crucified, no fault of his. Our sins were up there on that cross with him, not his. He was crucified and he died. Okay? You're going to have to die out to who you've always been to find who you really are. You're not going to find the real you, the true you, until all of that junk, all of that baggage that you have, you let that die. You got to let it die. You got to step into a new lifestyle, and you'll find more life. So how did Jesus find life? He actually struggled, was crucified, he died, and he was resurrected. Now think about this. He didn't die on that cross and immediately was resurrected. He had to stay in the grave. He was in the grave for 3 days. So when you change your life, when you make that decision to change your life, you need expect a little more struggle.
Mm-hmm.
While Jesus was in the grave, he continued to preach to those that were in captivity, that were still in bondage. He had to do some work. So we've got to follow his example. So when we die out to the old us, don't think that it's going to be an immediate just boom. You're radically changed. You're going to be radically changed. But there's going to be a season where you got to do the hard work and you got to let go of all those old bad habits, and you've got to abstain from using food as a solution for everything. Jesus is the solution. Now, I'll close this with this. A lot of people have a hard time with that name, Jesus. You shouldn't. You didn't know the physical man. I get it. I know a lot of people are struggling, and even believers, people that had profound belief in Jesus and in the name of Jesus. There's been so much stuff sown out there. Now that we're on social media, constant information coming in at us, and constant debate over the life of Jesus. And people really struggle with that now. Even people that had that profound belief, Jesus, can I really trust Jesus? Can I count on Jesus? I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection. That's what he said. So even though I think that's the sweetest name I've ever heard, Jesus, I can say it. I won't even do it. I can't repeat the name of Jesus. No, shame on me every time I'm in struggle. If I know better, I know better. Somebody called me ignorant yesterday. I got mad.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
So anyway, that was my flesh. But I'll just tell you this, when it comes to me dealing with my problems and stress and anxiety and these things, shame on me. I'm just stupid because I know better. All I have to do is go to a prayer closet. I don't even have to make requests of Jesus. I just have to go, Jesus, Jesus. I can keep saying that sweet, sweet name, and I know how real he is in my heart and in my life. I can just say it over and over and over, Jesus. And before I'm done, I'm in tears. This, what a wonderful name. It's just peace. But let's say that name doesn't bring you peace. I don't believe it, but let's say it doesn't. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Your way's not the way. It's hurting you. You're hurting yourself. Let's use this as an example. You're hurting yourself with food addiction. I'm the way. Jesus ate. I read where he was eating some broiled fish while they were out in the sea fishing and struggling amidst the storm. Jesus was over on the beach eating some broiled fish while they struggled. So he ate too. But everything he did was about God the Father. Everything he did was about submission to God the Father's will. But he's the way. Your way's not the way. My way's not the way. He's the life. Sometimes you just got to move forward and trust the life. Life will make a way. If you're a believer and you have faith and you have goals and you work hard toward those goals and you do all you can do the best you can do, he will do the rest. But how many of us are actually doing our best? It's not a good father to do it for you. Never has there been a good father. You want to just, God, to just do it for me. God, get this weight off of me. He's not going to do it. It's not being a good dad. Would a good father, your father upon this earth, would he just do things for you and let you be dependent upon him when you could do better and you could do more and you could do your best? Our father's here on earth knowing how to give good to us. How much better is our father in heaven than that father? He's going to want you to do what you can do. And then think about what he can do. When you've got to the limits of what you can do and you're doing your best, you're giving it all you got, you're about to break, you're about to succumb and you don't, that's when Jesus steps in. He's a right on time God. He's not only the life, he's the truth. I'm not the truth. I'm not the truth. The Bible says all men are liars. We all have our own truth. There's a way that seems right to us. The only the truth that there is Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said to love yourself. Take care of your temple. Anybody that doesn't take care of their temple, he said, I'll destroy them. Look at our land today. Worried about the coronavirus? I get it. Okay, fine. Fine. Hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds and hundreds, over a million people die from cancer and heart disease alone in the U.S. each year. Okay? But we hear all the fear-mongering, we get worried, we get anxious, and now that's our excuse to go eat. Trust the life. Trust the truth. And lastly, he is. He's not a resurrection. He's the resurrection. Uh-oh. Now I feel the tears coming. He's the resurrection. He's not a resurrection. He's the resurrection. You feel dead, you feel hurt, you feel dark, you feel all these things. Just go to the tomb with Jesus and stay in there with Jesus for 3 days and then let him resurrect you. He's the resurrection. He can give you a brand new life. We could talk about all kinds of stuff here today about getting off the struggle bus. We could point fingers at you and say, you just don't want it bad enough. Maybe you do. But what you really need to want is more Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection. That's what we all need to want to have here on Easter Sunday. So that's my struggle bus elixir.
Well, I think with Shanda, the one that had posted that earlier this week, she, as a mom, I can relate to a lot of what she's going through, and as her, you know, her kids, she's the same age as me, and we know each other from school, but her kids are older like mine are, and I can only imagine having them all under the roof and the way that they interact with each other. It's tough, and it's really, I feel for her right now as a mom and trying to find her own space, her own peace in all of this. And I think when you were talking about a few minutes ago about finding a way to replace, you know, those old habits with some new habits or finding some joy, I think almost because every day is a struggle. You know, people may think that because you are the owner and the creator of this program that you don't struggle, or I don't struggle. I've maintained my weight for many, many years now, but every day it's a conscious effort. And some days I throw in the towel and I enjoy the day, and I might for a few days, I might for a couple of weeks throw it in. But then my mind always comes back to those habits that I had created for myself and how good I was feeling when I was on it and maintaining. And so I've never let myself get, put it back on in that way. But I think every day you have to make a choice to change even the little things. I know I used to, even just recently with this pandemic that we've got going on, I know, because our schedule's a little bit different, I was waking up and sort of my mind would go to breakfast, because I've not really been a big breakfast eater. But lately, once this happened the first couple of weeks, I couldn't wait to get to the kitchen to make, we got these new cool Pop-Tarts that are called Smart Tarts that are really good. I couldn't wait to go have one. And I just usually wouldn't have it. I'd have my little bio coffee and my Pop-Tart, and I would just sit at my desk. And then I'd start to work immediately, and I just started feeling like I was starting to get hungry more. The refrigerator was calling my name, and I just was, I don't know, it got easier to sort of be, to not resist that fridge. Oh, this is happening right now, and I've got to, it'll be over soon, and it's not going to hurt me if I just, before I knew it, I was hitting it several times a day and snacking all day rather than having, good meals and stuff. But my morning routine, for some reason, a week or so ago, and you probably notice I'm getting up, but I'm getting up a little bit earlier, but I'll go get my coffee and I kind of try to leave my phone inside and I'll go outside for a little bit. Thankfully, we're living in a place where I can go. It's been pretty out, or it's been a nice morning, and I can go out there and just sit and reflect and just think about stuff, think about life, and just kind of, I don't even know if I'm thinking a lot of times, just quiet, just listening to the nature and or the cars or whatever's happening, but just spending some time with myself. And that gives me a little bit of peace. And that is something where I used to be looking forward to that breakfast, whatever that was going to be. Now I'm looking for, like, I crave that in the morning. I just crave that quiet time for myself, because I know the rest of the day we're all in the house together. Like, there's only, we've got rooms we can go to, but ultimately we're all here 24/7, and it's a lot. And so just having those few minutes, that's to me gives me joy every day. And so it's a replacing one thing with a different kind of joy, and that's been helpful for me. And so I know she found a moment of peace going and gardening and weeding, and I've heard a lot of people doing that. My sister's doing that back in Georgia as well. It's just like they're just spending so much more time doing things, organizing. I can't tell you, I think I've about organized everything we could possibly. We got your office organized yesterday. Oh, me and Kayla got in here and gutted it and put some organite. So I think we're about done. So now I'm not sure what our next project's going to be, but I've so enjoyed finding those other things to replace that. So, and I just want to say one more thing, about Nikki, who had posted this week. I know she's lost over 100 pounds. I'm not sure what her exact weight is, but she was talking about the pandemic and why some people that are struggling. She said, one thing she said that I think really struck a lot of people, it moved me so much, because she said she had had so much fear as a child, or as a young adult, looking in the mirrors and stuff like that. And she said, I saw that same look in the face of my child when she stood in front of a mirror. Mm. And she said, I was living in denial that it was mostly my choices that was causing this for me and for her. She said, you want to know how I'm not gaining weight during this crisis? It's because the crisis that my daughter was under when she hated herself is much more scary than a pandemic. I just got chills when I read it. So I just really thank her for posting that for other people, because it helped me. And I think, and obviously it helped so many more people to see the different side of all this. So.
Wow. Yeah. I said, close. I feel impressed. I'm going to. Was that Shanda, the champion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The champion.
Yeah, this immediately got my attention when you told me who it was. I don't know why. But the angel said to the women, that's Matthew 28:5-6. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Man, do we not hear that every day? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, yeah. I can't maintain. I'm afraid I can't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. That's the way, if I'm there, this is the way I hear the angel talking to me. You know, a lot of people don't, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. Because what does it matter that what people say? But they'll tell me, you quoted that wrong. Look, this is the living word. This is a letter written to me.
Right.
Okay. So I can interpret it however I want based upon my needs. So, you know, God speaks to you through his word. It's a letter written to me. So if someone's having a conversation with three of us, we all interpret it differently based upon our experiences. So I interpret it based upon what I'm going through. And I hear the angel talk to me like this. Travis, do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And all these people are looking for Jesus. They are. Mm-hmm. They're looking for Jesus. But we're looking for him in the wrong place. He has risen. Where'd he go? Come on, I'll show you where. Come and see the place where he did lay. This is where he did lay. He's not here anymore. And that people keep looking for him in the same place. And that is to say they keep looking for the way, the truth, the life. They keep looking for joy and peace and love. They keep going to the same place looking for those things. And they're not finding him because he's not there anymore. You know where he's at? I'll tell you where he lays. He lays in my heart. That's where he's at. He's in my heart. I've got every resource I need inside of me. He who is within me is greater than he that's in the world. John 19, verse 1 through 42. I'm not going to read all these. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. They mocked him, made fun of him. When you find out where Jesus lays and you start living and walking in sync with him, more love for yourself, more love for others, more love for God, people are going to mock you, especially if you tell them where your great hope and joy comes from Jesus. People are going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you just like they did him. But are you ready? Are you ready for a new life? Because nothing's going to give you more joy, nothing, when you realize that starting a new life, beginning a new life, is going to come with some adversity, some even your most intimate loved one, those that you love the most, when you make a life change that they're not ready for you to make, but you're ready to make, they're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. But just keep walking in the footsteps of Jesus, because it won't be long. It won't be long that you'll find out where he's laying now. He's in your heart. The omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God of heaven is in your heart. He's not in that tomb. He's not a material, physical person on this earth anymore. And he's not even coming back that way. A lot of people disagree with that. Let's just agree to disagree. He came as a sheep. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he lives in your heart. So when people tell me, "I can't do this, I don't have what it takes," I can't go along with that. That's why I rant so. That's to say that we are defeated. That is to thumb our nose up at what Jesus did. He said, "Here's the way to victory. Victory and freedom. When the Son sets you free indeed. When he sets you free from food addiction, you're free. You don't have to go back there anymore." I think Jesus just needs to become more real in the believer's heart and become real for the first time in the non-believer's heart. You can break any addiction with Jesus. I'll try to stop. But, man, I know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus. He goes into Walmart with me. He goes into Kroger with me. He goes into Red Lobster with me when I deny the lust of my food-addicted flesh and walk in the Spirit. Love you, Miss Champion. Mm. Keep looking up. Sasha, mm-hmm. What do we got next?
I don't know if I want to go away from what we're talking about. And we really aren't because what you just said. Well, because what you just said, because what I had more of was basically the a little more specific about, we had talked a little bit about people that had medical conditions and might be concerned about doing this program or that program. But the ones that we had were specifically about people always want to know because they're diabetic or because are gluten-free. The diabetic question was specifically, I've been insulin dependent for 15 years. My sugar was 80 when I woke up, had the shakes, really weak all day. Can I do this program whenever I try to make changes to my eating? This is what happens. And I think that you just sort of answered that, because when somebody's going into something like this already feeling defeated, anyway, it just made me think this is already, we're already talking about these issues that I think with anything, people, like we talked about before, they kind of own it. This is my problem. This is why I can't, because of this, that, or, you know, this medical, this issue. And there, I certainly don't know what that's like. And I wouldn't want to say, oh, it's, you know, I don't want to downplay the severity of it in by any means. But I just think that's where that sort of I can't comes into play, and where you're just talking about the lion in your heart here. I think you got to try to overcome that. And I think what can I do? I guess I have.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have real issues. I know I had real issues. Acid reflux for over a decade. The worst case I have, that I know there's worse, but I had the worst case I've ever seen or heard about. And acid reflux, debilitating acid reflux, couldn't go many places because of the constant regurgitation of food. And type 2 diabetes, which can be reversed. Some people say it can't. Yes, it can. We see that every day here. Type 1 can't be, outside of a miracle of God. I've heard people say, I had type 1 and I don't have it anymore. But science would tell us that that's impossible. But I know good nutrition can manage it much better, because I've seen that. I've seen so many illnesses overcome, better managed or reversed through living a healthy lifestyle. So when someone comes and they have these issues, it's more of a matter of perspective. And again, I don't mean to keep going back to the Bible, but we're rejecting the Word of God. We're rejecting what Jesus said. There's a lot of reasons why people reject it. And I understand that, because you've got constant people making a mockery of Christians and Christian beliefs and these types of things. And again, I'm a whole Bible person, but I'm not a Old Testament. I don't spend my time in the Old Testament. I've read it, enjoy reading it, but that's not what I try to live by. I try to live by the commandments of Jesus. And people will mock that. Even if you just talk about love, a lot of people will mock that. So my point here, as I digressed, is if you have some physical ailment, let's look at it physically, and let's look at science, and let's also look at the spiritual part of that illness, okay? Whatever illness you're dealing with, the level of thinking that you've always had contributed to the illness that you're dealing with. There's some exceptions. There's some exceptions. But even those exceptions, what do I mean by exception? Let's say a virus attacks a child's pancreas and it can no longer produce insulin, and it's type 1 diabetic to no fault of its own. You can look back through the lineage, that child's lineage, and you'll find somewhere where somebody much smarter than me could come and articulate this better, but you'll find somewhere where those genes that was susceptible to that, or that made the immune system susceptible to that, you will see somewhere where someone's thoughts and actions in that child's lineage, could be way back, upregulated that gene, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's our thoughts and our actions that lead to disease. No, Travis, that's not true. That's going to upset somebody I know. I didn't say your thoughts or that child's thoughts, but what thoughts led to disease in the first place? The thoughts that come from the first man and woman that were discussed in the Bible, whether that was literal or figurative, what led to disease? They lived in the garden. We're going to live there eternally without ever having to live. Hey, it doesn't get much better than two good-looking people not having to work, living in a garden butt-naked, and they ain't got no problems, man. They had it made, but that wasn't good enough. It was their level of thinking that caused death to come. So you can talk about it all day, however you want to talk about it. It all rooted back to man's level of thinking and then man's action. You know, what got Eve in trouble was not thinking, hey, this forbidden fruit looks pretty yummy here. It's not the thought, but that's where it all comes from. It's that action. We're all going to have thoughts we shouldn't have. So when you have these thoughts of, man, I've got these, you know, I'm dealing with diabetes, I'm dealing with high blood pressure, I'm dealing with thyroid disease, I'm dealing with cancer, I'm dealing with these things that hold me back. That's a lie of the devil. That's what the devil wants you to think. You should, yeah, something's going to get you. Something's going to get all of us. But until it gets you, you should be thinking, hey, I can do, will do, etc. You know, I can overcome this. The Bible is full of scripture. What about the one that was there by the water? The waters would be troubled, and he couldn't get up out of his bed to get in the water because no one would help him. When he decided, when Jesus came by, and he decided to take up his bed and walk at Jesus' command, he was made well. At some point, you've got to take up your bed and walk. In other words, these things have been an obstacle to you. Diabetes, insulin dependent, okay? You're dependent upon insulin for your survival, okay? Let's say that's your bed. That's your bed. That's what you're dealing with. You got to take it up and keep moving forward. It's not helping you to stay in that bed, if you will. You got a great reason to not continue on, okay? I'll give you that. We won't even call it an excuse. Your thyroid disease, great reason. I won't be a butt and I won't say, hey, that's an excuse. I won't say that. You've got a great reason to give up. You have that decision and that choice to make. You can give up, or you can take up your bed that you've been laying in. What bed? The reason that I can't do this because of thyroid disease. You can take up that bed and you can move forward. You can walk forward and you can make things better. You will make things better. But you have to go forward. You can't sit there, even with good reason, to feel sorry for yourself. Is that how you want to finish up this thing here while you're here at home in this body? Is that how you want to, is that what you want to be known for? Hey, sister had thyroid disease. Hey, sister had diabetes. Or do you want to take up that reason, that bed, and walk, move forward, and do better? You can do better. It's hard, I know. But there's also the science of it. You've got some limitations, I understand. You got some self-limiting beliefs, but you also got some physical limitations. What I love about our program is that whether you're dealing with diabetes or you've got Crohn's disease or whatever, we can sit down and help you come up with a meal plan. You're eating something. I said this in the last podcast. You're eating something. Pringles aren't making it better. We will have people, am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
You'll have people hooked on junk. Then they'll look at our food list and go, oh my gosh, I can't eat that. One item. They'll see one item on the list. I can't eat that. And my response is, don't. There's tens of thousands of items that we can choose here. You just can't have your Pringles. It wasn't helping you anyway. And you can still have those 6 days a month. Just keep your insulin nearby.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You've just got to give me more days, 24, 25 days a month, following our easy-to-follow program or your program of choice. Whatever program you choose, take it to your doctor. Sit down with one of us. Let us help you come up with a meal plan based upon foods that you enjoy eating that help you instead of foods that you enjoy eating and don't help you. And that's all we're doing. To me, that just sounds like logic. It sounds like common sense. But I also can hearken back to the day when I just wasn't ready to change. I was actually addicted to being labeled, Travis has got type 2 diabetes. Travis has got heart disease. Travis has got acid reflux. Travis has got high cholesterol. Travis is depressed. Travis is bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
You just heard that. That come up the other day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the kids said, so-and-so said, you used to be bipolar. And that's why you went through so many. yeah, I was diagnosed with it 15 years ago. Yeah, sure was. But I don't consider myself bipolar anymore. Maybe that's been
wait a minute.
That's 20 years ago. We've been so anyway.
This is new information for
well, they, but they were like it was like a shock because somebody was really trying to. They were out to get me.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. They were out to get me, so they told my kids something that I hadn't told my kids. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there was, believe it or not, there was a miserable comfort to being labeled those things.
Mm-hmm.
It let me off the hook.
Absolutely.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally see
it,
that.
That's why the Bible says you're inexcusable. Mm-hmm. The Bible is not trying to be mean when it says you're inexcusable. It's saying that you're inexcusable because guess who lays in your heart? Guess who's on the throne of your heart? You don't have to do this by yourself. But there was a miserable comfort for me to go, well, I'm on depression medication. Well, I'm type 2 diabetic. Well, it let me off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do anything. I had a good excuse. Shouldn't be an excuse. You're wasting the sweet spot of your life. Those of you that are listening to me, because it's rare, and if you are, I'm glad you are. It's rare that anybody under the age of 30 is listening to me. So if you're 30, we welcome you. And believe it or not, young person, you will soon be dealing with the things that all of us are dealing with. But anybody 30 or over, look, you're in the sweet spot of life. Is this how you want to go down? Is this how you want to go out? Or do you want to go out yelling, freedom! I finally got free. It's up to you. If you're insulin dependent, if you have gluten sensitivities, whatever you're dealing with, watch the daily doses with an open mind about nutrition. We're not preaching at you that much in those daily doses. Or watch Kim's Fast Track.
Mm-hmm.
Kim's Fast Track. Some people have preferred those. Either watch Kim's Fast Track or my daily doses. Take the test, pass the test, and earn your Phase 1 badge. Now you've got a good foundation of nutrition. Put together a meal plan or get a mentor appointment. And let us help you put together a meal plan. Don't do it. Take it to your doctor. Take it to your doctor. You know what your doctor's going to say? This is awesome. This is awesome. Because you're going to be eating whole food, sister. Good food. Combine the right way. And even if we have to find you a void replacement for moose tracks, like bunny tracks that's approved on our program and tastes like moose tracks but without the blood sugar spike, your doctor's going to say, well, this is a better ice cream than you were eating. We're going to make these changes. But then you've got to marry the program. You can't date it. When you're dating, you're enjoying dating, you get tired of the person, you can date some new person. And that's what happens. You're doing this program for a day or two, a week or two, and something new comes up, fascinates your mind. You were making progress, but I want something new. That's another thing about human beings. We want something new all of the time. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. So you can try all these things and you can keep jumping around and starting. Be uncommon. Stick with something. Have some stick-to-itiveness and finish what you started. Go to our website. Click Ideal Weight. Go to www.myshiboleth.com. Myshiboleth.com. Click Ideal Weight. Find out what your ideal weight range is and get going. Get there and tell me things aren't better when you get there. You'll get there. Whether you're dealing with diabetes or whatever you're dealing with, there's hope. There's hope, but you got to put the work in. A lot of people, it's not that you don't want to do it. You're not disciplined. But there's hope. You can be disciplined. You just got to learn to push yourself. Do you think I want, or Sasha wants, or those that have been successful want every day 24, 25 days a month because that's all we got to do it. Other days we can have at it. But do you think we want to do what we're supposed to do all the time? No. But you got to push yourself and develop some discipline, because discipline equals peace and self-love and self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So come see us. Mm-hmm. Let us help you. Your thoughts.
I had a lot. Let me see if I can recall them. I know you'll see how biblically in
no, you're not.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a story that I used to, when I would teach every now and then in the center, there was a story that was I felt like was related to just what you're talking about from the Bible, and it's the crippled man that was next to the water, and he said, yeah. Nobody will help me. So he got and Jesus, I think, yelled at him, and because I think in the Bible it's like in all caps or there's exclamation points or something, it said, "Get up, grab your stuff, get in there yourself," kind of thing. And I really think that's that with the program or with whatever thing you want to do, it's you have to make your own effort. You have to. You can easily go get a pill or go get, meals prepared for you, for sure. You can easily do all that stuff and get to the goal that you're wanting. But it's to me now, and there was a time I would have thought that's so easy. Just please do that. Let me do that, because there's so much other stuff going on in my life. I don't want to have to learn anything new. But once you get the knowledge that we've got with this program, or with anything that you choose to do, you really have to jump in and be willing to be like a sponge for a while and get all the information that you can, get some knowledge about what you're trying to do, because you're not talking about just learning to paint your fingernails or something. You're talking about learning to live a healthful and a life that you can now pass along this knowledge to your kids and your future, the future generations. It's the information to me is invaluable that we provide here. But when you allow yourself to be that sponge and gain that knowledge, do it for yourself. Like it's like when you bought, or when, you know, if you're a kid and you turn 16 and you're given a car maybe by your parents. I don't know that they're with the luxury of that so much, but my parents did, and when I was 16, I got a little Pontiac Sunfire given to me. I was driving my sisters around. I think it was a big help to them too. But that car versus a car that I bought for myself later on, I put the money into it. I was able to get, get what I wanted because I put in the effort. I took so much better care of that car that I paid for. And I think anybody would say the same thing, right? Your house, your whatever it is, your dog, whatever it is that you put the effort into. And this is no different to me. It's like, if I'm not willing to take the time to learn, watch some videos, listen, just listening, having it on, I think you absorb everything. And every time I listened to something, I would get something different out of it. Write stuff down. That always, when it comes out of your brain and onto paper, I think it makes you really think about things differently. I think that's your good faith effort to do good and to do good for yourself. And then, that Footprints poem comes to mind. And once you get to a certain place where you're exhausted and you feel like maybe you've gone as far as you can go, He will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way with you. That just has always been, I just feel like you got to do we've all got to do our part to, not just say, well, nobody would help me, or I can't stand when I see something where somebody has said, nobody will help me do this. And
we hear that so often.
Yeah,
Have we ever denied anybody?
Never.
Certainly, you get an email in the wrong box or one of those hidden Facebook boxes, and then people don't even try to reach out for help anymore if you don't answer them. Mm-hmm. But we've got mentoring. You just schedule the appointment. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you brought up such a good thought. And again, the Bible is spirit. This is I don't look down on anybody who has literal interpretations of the Bible all throughout. I just don't. Okay? I don't. The Bible was spiritually written, must be spiritually discerned. So again, a letter to me, and this is piggybacking on your thought, Sasha. It was a good thought. This is John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, let's put that in the letter to Travis. And these lay a great multitude of sick people who have diabetes, heart disease, are obese, thyroid disease, depression. But they're waiting for something else. They're waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. You could be dealing with this for 38 years. Think about it. He had a good reason. He'd been dealing with obesity, let's say, obesity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Maybe that should be our first question from now on. When people say, "Will this work for me?" We need to teach our whole team that here's your question. Don't ask any other question. Do you want to be made well?
Right.
And it's almost, for me, it's like Jesus is saying, "Travis, you've been laying there for 38 years doing the same thing."
Siri said hello.
You've been laying there for 38 years. Siri's in the room. You've been laying there for 38 years, man. Do you even want to be made well? Because you're just laying there doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. The sick man answered him and said, "Sir," now listen to the excuse, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, somebody else steps down before me." How many times have you heard that? I just felt left out. I just felt. Jesus said to him, now Jesus didn't do what we're doing. Try to talk anybody into anything.
Right.
We have to try to talk people into being made well.
Yeah.
Jesus is different. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." It was a command.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured?" Now think about that. I had people, and rightfully so. It helped me make a good decision. I had people that said, "You shouldn't be doing a challenge on Easter Sunday." I said, "Right, you're right. We need to be focused on that." But think here what happened. This was on the Sabbath. It was not lawful for this man to do anything, especially not even carry his bed. He was not supposed to be made well on the Sabbath. This patriarchal society writing their own rules is. Listen to what, again, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed even if you're getting well. Let me throw this in there, everybody. So they were getting mad at Jesus because this man's carrying his bed and Jesus told us, "We'll kill these people. They ain't supposed to be working on the Sabbath." Today may be a good day for you to write down your new birthday. It may be a good day for you to say, "Easter 2020, my new name and my new birthday. I'm letting the past go. I'm going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus and a healthy one." Now think about this. It's Sabbath. Who? What's going on here? I love it. And this lame man who's been made well, he answered them. "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" He said, "I really don't care what y'all say, because that man told me to take up my bed and walk, and he healed me, so I'm doing what he says." Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said this to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Now think about this. Here's another place I think we fail, and this is the reason we relapse. This is the reason that relapse happens even for those who have lost the weight. Afterward, Jesus found this man in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Found him in the temple. I got a feeling this man was in the temple because he was filled with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We should be filled with gratitude once we overcome this thing and not forget who helped us overcome it. And it wasn't Sasha. Right. It wasn't Travis. It wasn't the person that helped you with your meal plan. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the one. He's the one. That's good. That's good. And sin mm-hmm. no more. I got to throw this at people because, boy, that word upsets even some of our loved ones, sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up the real meaning of sin, it means going against one's own self. Now, people are offended by it. How dare you call me a sinner? I'll tell you right now, I'm a sinner. I go against myself every day, and I know that's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to be for myself because he's for me. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't lay in that bed anymore. Don't lay over there in that bed anymore. You're going against yourself, man. The next bed you have, the next reason you have not to move forward, you take it up and you keep walking. Don't work against your own self anymore. How many people have a few perfect days on our program and tell us they're feeling better? And then you find them going against their self again. And they're like, why? I mm-hmm. felt so good. Why did I do this?
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk in Jesus, and you have to realize you're not the bad guy here. You're not the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places that wants to kill you. You have that or not.
Mm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is they can, they don't have to be defeated by that lapse of, I mean, everybody's going to have that moment of weakness and you feel like, well, I did it. I've screwed up. I might as well just screw up the whole rest of the day or the weekend or the week or the month. But truthfully, it's just a matter of, you know.
Well, I've got a little saying that you hear me say all the time and you don't realize why I do it, or you may realize why I do it. But I just started making fun of myself when I fall, meaning I used to beat myself into oblivion, which is exactly what the devil wants because he's the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that would help you do better, but it doesn't. So now when I mess up, I go, excuse me, hate it when that happens.
Right.
Hate it when that happens, and I'll fix it. It's going to happen. So I hate it that happened. Now I'll fix it. I'll do better tomorrow. I'll mm-hmm. do better right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you have to be. You can't just wallow in that and beat yourself up. I see people beating themselves up constantly for an era, you know, a human era. So anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
Next.
After that, I don't know. I was gonna how much time have we got left?
We got time. You had mentioned one earlier that might be a good one to end on.
Oh,
I didn't lose weight yep. yesterday.
Yeah, there was a question about how much are you supposed to lose weight daily? I started riding my bike. I'm not sure if I'm not eating correctly or if it's due to riding my bike now, but I gained a pound. I lost 11 pounds in 8 days.
Right.
And now I gained one and I'm stuck.
Yeah. Hear it all the time, right? So let's unpack that so that you have a better understanding of what this journey looks like. And we do this almost every podcast too, almost every class we have to, because people don't understand how these bodies work. First off, if you're in a calorie deficit, you lost weight that day. Doesn't matter what the scales say. Next, if you were in a calorie deficit and you controlled insulin, you lost weight 2 to 3 times faster than you would have if you were just in a calorie deficit. And that's what our program addresses. Neutralization of the fat bus, that being insulin, and calorie deficit. Boom. Okay. So she said, and we take her at her word,
mm-hmm.
I did it. I had a perfect day. Meaning I was in a calorie deficit, I controlled insulin through food combining, and I gained weight. I'm stuck. No, you're not stuck.
Right.
That's not stuck. That's not stuck. Your body is a sponge. Okay, what you should say is, I know I had a perfect day. I know that I lost fat, but I put on a pound because my body's a sponge. And I'm going, my water, the weight of water is going to fluctuate up and down during my journey. The weight of glucose is going to fluctuate up and down during my journey. More so than the fat does, whether it's a loss or a gain either. Your body is a sponge. If you have a carbohydrate, even in the right combination, you're going to retain a little fluid. If it's that time of the month, you're going to retain a little fluid. If you have late at night, you eat your last meal, your weight's going, you eat it really late and you go to bed while it's still in the first phase of digestion, you're going to be a little up tomorrow. It doesn't mean you didn't lose body fat.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have those water and glucose and waist fluctuations. They won't be daily. That will go up and down, up and down, up and down. Nor when you lost, what was it? She lost 11?
Right.
11 in 8 days. Mm-hmm. 11 in 8 days. You did not lose 11 pounds of fat in 8 days.
Right.
You still lost weight. It was 11 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having to carry around 11 pounds that you were carrying around. But a lot of that was water and glucose.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're at net 9 or 10 pounds lost. Okay? Keep going. Be consistent. That water, that glucose, that waste is going to fluctuate. I'm going to say this every broadcast that you remind me to. Trust the perfect day definition. Trust it.
I was going to ask you about that.
Trust your weekly timing calendar. If you're not truly having a perfect day and marking it perfect, it doesn't matter. That's not what I mean. You had a perfect day. You followed the bulletproof shield. Shibboleth bulletproof shield. Boom. You had a perfect day. Trust it. You had 2 in a row. Trust that. You had 3 in a row. Now you're in efficient fat burning. Trust that. The weekly timing calendar is what probably the number one reason that I was able to be consistent, because my weight in the beginning come off fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then it slowed down. So I trusted that, okay, I had a perfect day. This will remedy itself. I'm not stuck. If I continue, I'll have a drop. You know, I might go the same. I would go the same weight 3 or 4 days, and those would be perfect days, and then boom, I drop 2. That's what will happen if you truly have a part. Trust the weekly timing calendar. Do not trust the scales.
The devil is in the scale.
The devil is in the scales. And well,
I believe it.
But the devil gets exercised. Let me explain. We can exercise the demon in the scales. Let me tell you how to do it. You're doing the program, you're having perfect days. You get on the scales looking for that result. That's human beings. Man, I put in a great effort yesterday. I expect all the weight to be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. You need to exercise that thought demon too. That's stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. You have a great day. You look at the scale. You look at the scale the next day. You're down 7 in 2 days. And then you go, wow, I'm going to lose about 2,000 pounds this year if I keep going. It's not going to happen. You do not trust the scales. The devil, demons, are in those scales if you look at them every day. They are a liar, and the truth is not in them as it relates to the amount of fat you lost or gained. Or gained. What do I mean by that? If I go eat out, if I go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac and fries and a shake, I'm gaining weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next day, my weight, let's say it's up 4 pounds because of that. I did not gain, the whole meal didn't even weigh 4 pounds. I didn't gain 4 pounds of fat. But for the rest of the day, I'm also, everything I drink is being latched onto and pulled into the cell because of all the starch in the burger, and all that will be released. When the scales say you gained or lost and you're looking at them in a day, it's a liar. Now, if I get on the scale Monday morning, I have a perfect week or maybe one challah meal and I get on the scales the next Monday morning, a little more truth, a little more truth, still some lies mixed in that, especially if I had my challah meal late in the week after a great week of effort. Little lie. That's why I tell people, if you're going to weigh once a week, weigh on Wednesday, because mm-hmm. most people are having their challah meal on the weekend. And then Monday and Tuesday, before you won't get depressed, because Monday and Tuesday, if you're having perfect days again, by Wednesday, you'll see more of a true assessment of what you've accomplished in the last 7-day period.
Right.
But even looking at them in a 1-week period, especially for a woman who is that time of the month, that week, can't trust the scales. They're going to lie to you, sis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Now.
Yes, they are.
We can exorcise the demon that's in that scale if we look at it. I'm not saying this is the only time you should look at it. But if we look at it, I did my best in the month of April. I had 6 challah meals and 25, 24, whatever it is, perfect days. April 1, I can compare to May 1. And now I'm getting the whole truth.
Right.
Now I know. I lost 10. Awesome. I lost 20. Awesome. I lost 5 because I don't have much to lose. Awesome. But also, if you have fooled yourself, which we do, and you didn't do your best, now if April was 155, and May 1st was 160, you know, I didn't work hard. And I guarantee you that would coincide with your weekly calendar. You could see on that calendar, your weekly timing chart, we call it different things.
Mm-hmm.
You would see, the chart's right. I didn't do my best. That's why I gained a few pounds. I had 11 holidays, or I had 18 holidays, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So trust the scales. Over the course of a month. In a month, if you know you've done your best, or even 2 weeks, in 2 weeks you've done your best, you've had perfect days, you didn't lose any weight, now you're stuck. I'm with you. I'm mm-hmm. with you. But we can fix that. All you got to do is call for a May Day, get you a mentor appointment. We'll fix that, lickety split. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to get depressed. You can't say, I'm stuck after a day.
Right. Nope.
Anything else, ma'am, Sasha?
Maybe just a couple of shout outs I have.
Yeah, go for it.
There, I have Kayla Wallace and her husband. She posted they've lost 112 pounds between them both since New Year's Day. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty, and over Facebook, it's really hard to pull one or over somebody else because. Right now, even during this crisis, most of the posts, if you're not part of our Silver Group Facebook, if you're not on there, you need to get on there. Our members-only group is where all of us as a community, I mean, we have a business. The business part of this, we have about 5 employees, 5 staff members, but the community, the support that's out there of people that are all doing this are in the Silver member group. Yeah. So if you're not part of that group, get in there if you're struggling because there's so many positive stories and everybody's journey is different. So you get all kinds of weight loss across the board. You've got Kayla and her husband together combined 112 pounds lost since New Year's Day. You've got Matthew Anderton, 40 pounds down. He said first time he's been at the weight he is, which he didn't post that, but he posted 40 pounds down in more than 5 years. He hasn't Wow. seen the weight he sees today. And that's been since February 24th. So that's a very, because of knowing you and your journey, it makes me think that he was probably about where you were, where you started. But that's incredible, 40 pounds since February 24th. And then
amazing.
Yep. And then I just got a shout out to Tasha Russian because that girl, she Ooh. Is always on here posting positive pictures. She's 80 pounds down and has Wow. been maintaining, Tasha. I think maintaining for probably 4 to 6 months or so because she started January of 2019. But she is always on there, so positive, posting her pictures and inspiring more people. And I know that she is because I see so many people If you're struggling and don't know, and you're ready to be a sponge, I think you should find somebody too. If you're afraid to go to one of our mentors, or you're afraid they're not going to be able to relate to you for whatever reason, find somebody on this page that looks like you do, or started like you do, or has the lifestyle that you have. Maybe they have a bunch of kids, maybe they have no kids, or maybe they're very active, or maybe they're not, or just find, because Tasha, I know, because I've seen it come through the back end, she is inspiring so many people, and she talks to them. They will say, Tasha taught me how to do A, B, or C. And the one thing that I just think she's incredible person. She always is posting, always. And she's a young woman and has gone through this journey, and she's really inspiring. And I'm encouraged to see so many people actually reaching out to her that she doesn't know outside of this group. And then you also have to remember that this journey is really a secret. It's one of somebody a long time ago when we were talking about the name Shibboleth and why we went there. And I think you and I know why you did, from a biblical, the secret and the password. But I think our members, and we started to take on a new meaning, that it's really a secret for me. It's my personal journey. It's my Shibboleth. It's my, what I eat every day. And you have to remember that about the people that are in our groups too, and that you see post, what they do every day may not work for you. And the things that they like, because a lot of people will want to know, like with Matthew or some of these others, will say, well, what did you do? How did you do that? Tell me what you did, because you think you want to do exactly the same thing. But I know for me, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for probably until I thought, I can have that. I know
approved
I'm gonna,
version.
Yeah, oh, yeah, approved.
There may be new listeners going, completely. Hey, I'm going to have some white bread and some peanut butter.
Once I knew the kind of bread to buy, right, and I liked it, it was good bread. I knew that natural peanut butter was just easy for, I could buy Skippy Natural, and that's cool. I like that, or a low sugar jelly, or and have on bread. I knew I could do that. I knew I loved them, so it wasn't a problem for me to have that sometimes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, until I learned what else I could do that I wanted to do that fit into my lifestyle, into my routines and stuff. So a lot of times that might be somebody's, they're like, peanut butter does not work for me. I don't like it. Don't want it. So you just never know. And so some people, I think everybody's journey is different. There's everybody's story is different. So you can take what people do and get ideas from it, but you really have to create your own journey here, something that you can stick with for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Make it your own. And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, we've got 8,000 people in the members only group. We have a lot more members than that. A lot of people don't do Facebook. That has surprised me. I really admire them. We kind of have to, but you know, we've got, on our staff, probably 16 or 17 employees. A lot of them are on the technical side, because something's always going on with our website. It's huge. Mm-hmm. But we do, about 5 support people. So they do a great job supporting. Shout out to them. You know who you are. We love you, you ladies. But we've got 8,000 members in there that are support staff, in that this is a ministry first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And just the help, I learn something every day. Someone asked me the other day, are you ever going to get back in the group? And what they don't realize is, y'all a couple years ago said, stay out of there. And it's not that I stay out of the silver group. I'm there every day reading stuff and being inspired by it. Mm-hmm. But it's just the situation now. If I comment on it, mm-hmm, then I get messages, and then I'm having to be the middleman between y'all and getting them, because y'all know how to fix something on the back end, you know, or fix an account or looking into an account, or, and I get these support questions, and then it's like, I didn't get my work done.
Right.
So they're like, you just can't say nothing in that
group.
Well,
and a lot of times if you are answering a lot of them, because you're the man, like you are the end all be all, like, what? You know, a lot of times if you are in there answering a lot, we saw this happen, other people don't tend to chime in as much, because they're going to wait for you to get to it. And I think what I've enjoyed seeing is, I might see a question and I'm like, wow, before I can even answer it, there's like 5 or 6 clients that are saying
it
and answering correctly. And they're so passionate about it. Like, they love it. They can't wait to get to it and offer their opinion about it, or their, how, this is how you do this right. Because once you have this in you, it's just like a, you want to share it. It's, I always, you know, it's a pay, pay it forward thing. Like I did it and I'm having success at it. And I think encouraging other people keeps me having, makes me, holds me accountable too. So I think when people can get on there and they know the answer, it's like, oh, I know that one. I can answer that. And then, so sometimes if you are in there answering, then it can make, other people maybe go, well, I'll wait till the, you know, till the teacher speaks or whatever, yeah, till the leader speaks.
Well, we really started to understand this a long time ago. This is not my Shibboleth. It's not yours. It's theirs. We're just part of it. It's a, it truly is a body. Like the Bible talks about the body of Christ. It's a body. And all of us have a different function on the body. And we're a bunch of friends, brothers and sisters, for those of you in the South. But friends, we're friends helping friends overcome food addiction, obesity, the unintended consequences of it. So it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful thing to watch. So with that said, anything else before I go into the finale here?
No, sir. I'm ready.
Well, first off, we're glad that you joined us. Glad you tuned in. Appreciate you supporting the podcast, supporting Shibboleth. If you want to be notified when I do live videos, some of those are public, many are members only classes. If you want to be notified, all that stuff, all that content ends up in the website. But if you want to be notified regarding the live ones so that you can interact, engage, and chat with others that are going through the same thing, text the word Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S, Travis, to 31996. Travis to 31996. That will allow me to text you and let you know what the link is of the live feed that I'm about to do. Whether it be, now, when it's a members only one, if you're not a member, you're not going to be able to get in because the link won't allow it. Well, actually, it does now, but first class is free. We'll just say that. I'll go into that. The first class is always free. But then this is a lot, this costs a lot less than one might think. Right now we're running a special, helps us keep that support team that we were talking about and our tech team, which is invaluable. We would not be able to reach more than a couple hundred people by ourselves, right? This is our life. We do it 24/7. So we would, the prices wouldn't be what they are and we wouldn't be able to help as many people. We would be just more like wellness coaches, you know, and have a career as opposed to this being more of a ministry than a business. And it's right now we're running a, so we can keep things going, we're running a special. It's a lifetime membership. You'd have to go to a special website to get that offer. It's www.thelifetimemembership.com, www.thelifetimemembership.com. If you're listening to this in the future, you may see a landing page that says this offer's expired. So get it while it's out there and available. www.thelifetimemembership.com. It's $59.95 for a lifetime of education, support, love. Someone asked just a week ago, what does lifetime mean? That means as long as I'm alive and as long as you're alive. That's what that means. So take advantage of that. And Sasha, that's really all I've got for this broadcast.
Okay.
What about you? Any parting words?
What do you say in the what do y'all say in the church sometime? I'm sad when you say you're done. I don't know. You know, you say I'm done. I'm at peace.
I'm
what do you
peace.
Say? You say there's you know what I'm talking about. You're just not going there.
I don't know that I do. But that was good.
I'm satisfied.
What if we do this? Aloha.
Hello. Adios.
Aloha. All right, y'all. Until the next time, have a happy Easter. I hope you have an amazing day with family and with friends, even if that means only through technology. I know, oddly, we pay a hefty monthly fee for it because of the way that we use Zoom. But they also have free programs. They don't work for us in what we do. But Zoom's always, when we've had any technical issue, they've been right on it. The other day we were having technical issues, and I got in the queue to get some help and support, and I was 432nd in the queue. And after an hour, I was still in the 400s, which told me that everybody in the United States, maybe across the planet, is using Zoom to connect with other people, you know, through video and chat or whatnot. So hopefully you've got connections, you're making connections, and feeling the love today. I hope you do. Mm-hmm. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Sasha, as always, I love you, and thank you.
I love you. Thank you.